Welcome to Low Standards and Poor, Sunday, March 21st, 22 minutes after 7, getting a little started early here. Is that El Carpe that I see there?
Yes, dear, it sure as heck is. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Jeez, I'm doing all right.
That's a good cough.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Get over to the mute button quick enough.
Welcome to the show, people.
Believe it or not, it is getting better.
Well, I do believe it.
Yeah, because I'm still podcasting. No, we're still podcasting.
I believe tonight you are.
Well, I might be the host tonight, but...
Oh, you are the host.
What's going on?
Oh, I spent... Well, this whole weekend, it was beautiful outside. You know, 45, 50 degrees and sunny. And I did all sorts of those outdoor activities, planting bulbs and flowers and stuff, and getting the flower beds ready to be pretty. Probably tomorrow night. Yeah, probably tomorrow night when it's also supposed to be, you know, high 60s. By the time I get home, I'm going to till the garden and get that all set up.
You do that by hand or you got a rototiller?
I got a rototiller thing, little battery-operated one. That's freaking awesome.
Oh, I bet. Save you a little bit of time and a shovel and a foot.
Well, yeah, but it's a brick. The battery is a brick. You just drop it in. It's the same thing with my snowblower. You just drop the brick in and the thing.
Oh, you got all electronic stuff.
Well, I'm trying. You know, I'm not like Mr. Super. Eco-friendly or whatever, but
yeah,
you know, to me, I would rather use the battery-powered stuff because I'm not good with engines.
Yeah.
So if something, you know, like I have a battery-operated trimmer,
right,
and blower and all that stuff. To me, those gas-powered engines, they're dirty, and they require maintenance. And I don't have those skills. So, to me, I would rather use the electronic stuff. And plus, it's so much easier.
Plug and play.
Yeah, you plug it in, and you run off with it. And then when you're done with it, you wipe it down, and you put the battery back in the charger, and then it's ready for it to go next time.
Yeah. What's up, Doss? You want to introduce our first guest?
Well, you know, I was thinking that...
Mr. El Carpe?
Yeah, I was thinking I would, but you just leaped into this so fast.
Sorry.
You know, which is fine. I don't have anything prepared.
Oh, I see.
You know,
come prepared. I thought maybe able to do it off the top of your head.
Well, Doss, you know Doss, I mean, a total friend of the show.
Yeah, loves leather.
Has a big dog.
Friend
of the family and has great taste in podcasts.
And he's from Quebec.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's what we heard anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We
love ourselves in Quebec.
Yeah. I've been to Montreal, so I've been kind of by Quebec City, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's more than just a city. It's a whole province.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you been?
I don't know my provinces. I know some of them. Saskatchewan.
Do you even know any of your states?
I know, I know a handful. I know the Midwest.
I've heard of them.
I'm kidding. I bet you I could probably get through all of them. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it today.
No, let's not.
We don't want to put you through that. No, I'm not. You know, I could probably do all the states pretty easily, but it's the capitals that are the problem.
I don't care about the capitals.
I could probably only get about 10% of the capitals. Maybe not even that.
I barely even know Lansing.
Yeah. And Lansing barely knows you.
Thank God for that, right?
And you're right. What else was I going to tell you today?
You were going to brag something about this new job of yours.
Oh, that's what's taking up some of my time. Yeah, I just got some compliance videos. They dump on us like, I don't know, probably not quite every day, but almost every other day, about five or... 8-10 compliance videos, and so I need to get caught up on some of those. We're not supposed to be doing them at home, but you know, we're supposed to be doing them during some compliance time during our training, but I've, you know, kind of got something else to do while my compliance training is going on. So,
well, yeah,
make it, you know, making a few phone calls and catching up on a couple of
podcasts to get ready.
Yeah, exactly.
All those really important things.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like during the day when I'm going through my, I was catching up with some phone calls and some real estate stuff and whatnot. And so
well,
I
took it's my, the whatnot that frightens us.
Yeah, my compliance time that I'm supposed to be allocating. So, but I have, I think I've got a boring week this week. We do a lot of role-playing. Like, hello, my name is Eric, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my, number is this. This call is being recorded and monitored for quality assurance.
Those are my least favorite things ever.
Yeah, so we do that back and forth, and it's all that kind of stuff.
This is me choking on.
Yeah.
That's just horrible.
But, and you know what's funny?
You got to learn it. You got to learn
Yeah,
it.
We know it's.
They're going to pay you, so do it.
So when I interviewed, I was kind of like, you know, sometimes get a little intimidated about the positions. I'm making sure I got all my, you know, all my questions to answer correctly. And,
right.
You know, all that. You want to make sure you're lined up, right? So you don't make a jerk of yourself during the interview. Well, come to find out, it's like there's like 13 people in our class.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the high majority have never even written a loan before. I mean, they haven't even worked as a loan officer before.
And they're, being an account executive?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it some other time. Oh. But yeah, so these people
this
are
is a
all learning.
Conversation you and I need.
These people are all learning the what you and I know in 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
And these are things that you and I have learned over the course of hundreds of years.
Yeah, and they're selling loans across the United States, all 50 states.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's horrible and frightening and scary.
Yeah.
Really not all that delicious.
No. So I sit there and I kind of sit in this class and I'm like, man, and some of the questions I'm like, oh, like there's a girl in there that's very
don't
young.
Don't even tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. I shouldn't even say anything anyways. I don't want to make anybody worry.
You'll never, please never say the name of the company.
Because
not going to work out well.
But, oh, God, I remember.
The bottom line here is whoever ends up with you as their account rep is going to be super happy because you're going to know your shit from your hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to go, oh, yeah, when Eric takes care of things, he takes care of things. He knows his stuff, and that's all there is to it. And that's the guy you got to be. I'm that guy for a couple of my branches at my job.
Yeah.
I get to be that guy that, you know, all right, well, and here's the thing. 92% of the time, I'm right on pretty much everything.
Sure.
And the 8% that I'm wrong on, because of how the relationship that I've built, it's, all right, let's work as a team together to fix this 8% that I screwed up.
Sure.
And the branch is happy to help me solve a problem that could have been my fault.
Yeah.
And most likely was, but they're happy to help me because they know that in a moment's notice, they can call me and talk to me and go, hey, we're looking at this deal and this is goofy and this is broken and how do we fix this? And I'm always there for them.
Yeah. And yeah.
Like I said, most of the time, 92% of the time, I'm right and I'm on. But nobody's perfect, man.
No.
We're going to screw up. And it comes down to making the relationships. And then that allows others to help you.
Yeah. And Doss, if you haven't picked up, we're in the lending business, we're in the overall lending real estate. Purchase a home, sell a home, qualify for a loan.
I'm the asshole that says yes or no.
Right, yeah.
If you apply for a loan at some bank or something like that, there's a guy that looks over your information and says, yep, they qualify, or nope, they don't.
Sure.
That's me. I'm that asshole.
Yeah.
You never see that guy.
Nobody likes a bill.
Right. Well, but see, the thing is, and actually, in any place that's worth anything, you'll never see that guy.
Right, right.
That guy is supposed to be dealing with the facts only and has no relationship with the peoples.
He's in that far back office that nobody goes to with a puff of smoke coming out about every 30 seconds and piles of files on his desk.
Well, right. And on top of it, it's dark. And,
right.
You know,
some seedy music.
Yeah. And there's all you see is the glow of computer screens in the back.
Right.
Yeah. I'm
the light, asshole. Light tap of a keyboard. Maybe the
tick a tap, tick a tick.
Yeah, maybe the hint. The no, I won't say that.
Merkerstein has joined us. I love me some Merkerstein. Should I welcome Merkerstein?
Yeah.
You know about Merkerstein, right?
Good friend of the family.
Friend of the show. Smells lovely. Looks good in leather. Tire swing in the backyard. That's our Merkerstein.
Family owns a bakery.
Family owns a bakery and receivership. That's my Ghostbusters reference.
We're so positive.
Yeah. It's the Ghostbusters reference.
Did you get that from Ghostbusters?
Yeah, it's when, what's his name? Somebody comes to the door.
Venkman?
No, somebody comes to the door, and who's the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with the glasses?
Oh,
Yeah, they him.
Oh, God, the short geez. Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, he welcomes the people into his, and this is so-and-so, because he's an accountant, this is so-and-so, and he is, owns this and that business, and he's in receivership, and it's okay.
That's right.
It's, you know, and just.
That's what, he's having a party, all come in, he's trying to sell his vitamins.
This is the original Ghostbusters, by the way.
Yeah, that's the only Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
in my case. I thought that was one of the more funnier, comedies that have come out in the last 20
so
years.
So many. Where do these stairs go? They go up. just stupid shit like that. Just,
I know.
They go up.
I'm trying to think. There's a whole bunch of them.
I have 95 minutes of movie cuts, and a lot of them are Ghostbusters. So at some point, I'll figure out a way to transfer it from the cassette tape that I have it on, or the 6 cassette tapes I have it all on, and we'll put it on something that you can use and punch buttons and make some goofy stuff happen.
Yeah, well,
yeah, what are you going to do?
We're not sure if this is going to be a long show this evening. I've got some stuff to catch up on, so.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it fun and pleasant and quick. And
Eric, I can't.
Before
go
we go, but hold on. Before we go there, I got to say a couple. things. And pushing me because I'm a skeptic.
You're a scary skeptic.
Can I finish my sentence? He thinks I'm an asshole because
I'm closer.
A skeptic who demands actual facts.
Yeah.
And so far, I have yet to see actual facts. And we're going to get there in a minute. But before we even go into remotely anything that has to do with the topic for tonight, we have to, especially with this show, go into the disclaimer.
Oh, go ahead.
Because under no circumstances should anyone have any idea that any of this stuff is factual and or relevant to reality. So, with that said, from the law offices, who we have spent so much trying to cover our buns for, Jameson, Walker, Statler, and Waldorf, the views expressed by the hosts are not necessarily those of rational human beings. All views are poorly researched and assembled by monkeys. These clowns have not been authorized by anyone to speak on their behalf. The entire show is not endorsed by any committee, team, group, organization, or tribe and or political faction of any kind. Please listen at your own risk. And I don't have to read the last part of the deal because we're not talking music tonight. Tonight we're talking, what are we talking about tonight, Eric?
I don't know. Well, we'll give them a break on the music for one evening.
Right. And what are we talking about tonight, Eric?
Well, we're not sure even how long this conversation is going to go. But I'm not even sure, actually, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure why we're talking about it.
I don't know why we're talking about it either.
I texted
you earlier today because I was watching something about the Alaska Triangle.
Well, let me ask you, what'd you think about
the
Alaska
Triangle? Bullshit on a stick. Well, these guys are full of feces, and why are they even... Why does the History Channel even pretend this is an actual show or Discovery or whatever stupid channel it is that does Ancient Aliens.
No, it's history.
Why are these? Why is this channel even exist?
Oh, well, that's do right, you believe in the Bermuda Triangle?
What part of the Bermuda? Explain to me what.
Well, I know, like, you've never flown a plane that's gone down in the Bermuda Triangle.
No,
but I'm saying, do you believe anything about it?
But like,
I mean, would you be if somebody were to say, "Hey, we're gonna go to, we're flying to whatever Cuba or the islands or whatever, fly through to get there, but we're going through the Bermuda Triangle. Would it even bother you? Like, I'm not worried about it. Let's go fly around the Bermuda Triangle."
Well, I'm not, because here's why. When I worked on that yacht, we took the boat through a large corner of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. What is it, from Miami to the Bahamas to Cuba or something like that?
Yeah, it's something like that. I don't remember. But, I mean, and when we were going through the Bermuda Triangle, I watched all my stuff because, you know, I'm like, you know, what's the deal? And the captain's like, don't worry about it. I've been doing this forever. This isn't where we're going. We're not going to have any issues. Pay attention, you know, keep your eye on Miami in the corner. You can see the lights in the dark. Maintain your heading. Do what you got to do. And, you know, I piloted that boat around the Horn of Florida.
Yeah.
It was, I was actually on during, it took us, I think, 5 hours to get through the Bermuda Triangle at the speed we were going. And I was on for 8 hours. We do 8 hours on, 16 hours off. And five of those hours were mine going through and around the Horn.
Hmm.
No issues. The Lowrance.
Well, I'm not saying every time you go through the Bermuda Triangle, something happens.
But it should.
Well,
Something that interferes with the what's the word I'm looking for? Not mechanical, but not metallurgical. It's the
Magnetic
field. Magnetic field stuff that goes on or whatever they're talking about.
Yeah.
If it's magnetic field stuff, then it should be relatively consistent. And I would expect that my Lowrance system would have gone goofy and said, we don't know what the hell's going on. We don't know where you are. And
It could happen at certain times of the year. It could happen at certain times of the day, high tide, low tide.
It could be high tide, low tide. It could have to do with the orbit of the moon, the sun, the Earth around the sun.
Maybe solar...
solar flares. Yeah. Sure. All sorts of shit. But it's unlikely.
Okay, well, you're saying it's unlikely. Now, what about the Alaskan Triangle?
What about the Alaskan Triangle? It's actually likely.
I've got an 8-shot right now and semi-automatic, and I'm loading them really slow. Okay. So, what's the Alaskan Triangle?
The Alaskan Triangle is supposedly that there's some that I could only tolerate about 20 minutes of the show.
Oh my god! How did you get this way? Go on.
What? That I actually depended on facts for the reality?
I know, but don't you like?
Yeah, God. Bobby's joined us, and I'm really happy that Bobby's joined us, because Bobby's a friend of the show, smells lovely, looks good in leather, turns out to be a very cute dog lover. We love ourselves some Bobby. Thanks for stopping by, Bobby. But the whole deal with this mythical, legendary, what have
you. It's not quite mythical.
But it is. Where's the facts? Where's the actual document?
I don't mean this in a personal way, but you're not an expert either.
No, I'm not.
Right. But I get where you're coming from.
Where's the scientific papers that say, okay, well, we've discovered this type of dinosaur, and we can, because we have geological evidence, we have paleontological evidence, we've got, you know, biological evidence, we've got all these six different fields have conglomerated to say that this particular animal that we've carbon dated through whatever and figured out it lived from this time to this time in history, and it looked roughly like this. You know, we have these 17 different sources that piece this all together, and we have a pretty good idea of how this is. Where is that for UFOs?
Well, so I was listening, but I wasn't. I was drawing my pyramids on my
right. My, yeah, because why wouldn't you?
I was doodling. Mm-hmm. What'd you say again? Excuse me.
When we look at things that are factual that we understand, like gravity, dinosaurs, the age of the planet.
Okay, hold on. Things like you're saying. You're saying. Okay.
Stop and listen.
All right, go ahead.
When we talk about these items, the age of the planet, dinosaurs, gravity, the Earth rotating around the sun, the fact that the Earth is round, all these different things, we have a series of different we have a series of different disciplines that add to each layer of factual evidence. It's not just I say because I think so. It's the geological evidence says so. The biological evidence says so. The historical evidence says so. We've got, you know, what's the word? Physics. All the different things, the different sciences add up and go, yeah, we've developed this germ theory of disease because we have 17 different disciplines that have added into the facts, and we've determined we can figure out how to inoculate people from diseases.
Okay, this you're muddying up the waters.
This is how we eradicated polio. And the reason I bring this all together, I will bring it all together, because we have all these different sciences that add up together to eradicate polio.
Yeah, but
where is all of these different sciences adding up together to say,
but not everything's
these
a science.
Red orbs are. These
but not everything's orbs. A science. Like, where do you? Didn't you like dream a little bit when you were a kid of like unicorns or, I don't know, purple dolphins?
I read books and I have fantasies and I've figured out stuff that don't. But that doesn't mean that they exist.
What you're saying is just because you don't know does it? You've always told me like, if it hasn't been proven, then there's nothing to believe in.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
Here's the other part of this. I don't know is a valid answer.
Well, it's an underwriting answer. Gosh.
I don't know is a very valid answer.
You are such an underwriter. I swear to God.
I live in
fact, on your tombstone, underwriter's got to be somewhere on there.
No. And on my tombstone, it'll say he lived in a world of facts.
Well, I know. But okay. This is my point.
Okay,
Let's say the Earth is a billion years old. Say it's 4 billion, whatever.
It's 4.6 billion, give or take.
Well, that's what you say, but neither one of us can prove it.
I can't prove it, but
we just read that.
There's a conglomeration of scientists that have added together
various different things
and have and determined that it's about 4.6 billion years, give or
whatever.
Take a little bit.
Potato, potato.
There's always a margin of error.
You can't prove it. I can't prove it. We can't.
Well, why
would the people
it?
Have told
that's
us?
Not my that's not my expertise.
Right. So, I think I'm losing my train of thought here. So, with it being a billion years old, if you divide, I don't know, how long has man been around in our kind of form and...
In our current form?
Yeah, like, I don't know, 10,000 years? 8,000 years?
Less than a million years.
Well, I know, but I'm saying like the Mayans and stuff where they can build temples and they can read the stars and do script on the wall. And
so you're talking about actual history?
Yeah, history of man were able to communicate.
So maybe
by writing or by whatever.
Maybe
okay, this is my point.
12 to 14,000.
Whether it's 10,000 or 15,000 doesn't matter. But if you take 10,000 and divide it into 1 billion or 4 billion, it really doesn't matter. It's such a small, infinite small fraction of time.
Right.
So you're just telling me the Earth was a bunch of green grass and jumping dolphins and tadpoles buzzing around for that long of time?
What?
We're like a one breath.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. We're like a mouse fart. That's it. In 4 billion years.
Yeah. In 4.6 billion years, we
there's a lot that could have happened before
Homo sapiens sapiens.
There could have been a lot. No, there's a lot that could have happened before that.
500,000 years. So a lot of stuff happened before that, because it doesn't, the Earth does not revolve around us. It revolves around the sun.
Yeah.
We are just one additional form of life that seems to, we have become the cockroaches of the planet.
Well, how many cockroaches of the planet could there have been in a billion years?
A ton.
Millions of years
where dinosaurs ruled the planet.
Yeah, but maybe that was just part of the planet. Maybe the other part was all was built up with like geo-type domes and shooting like, you know, Jetson-type, you know, spacecraft.
So
and
what you're saying is at some point on the Earth, aliens lived with dinosaurs.
I say it's possible. Why wouldn't it be?
Because there's no evidence of it. There's no paleontological evidence.
It doesn't matter, but you can still, there's still no reason not to believe it.
It does matter.
No, you say if there's no evidence, you can't believe in it. I'm just saying it's crazy to think that you can't believe in it because there is no evidence. Like you gotta believe in.
You're asking me to prove a negative.
No, like I said, it's not a personal thing, but. Mm-hmm. Like, I can argue the color red all day long, right? Maybe it's maroon. Maybe it's, I don't know,
maybe it's a shade of fuchsia.
Whatever.
Right.
But
it's a form of red, and we can document it.
So,
we can measure the pigments and determine how much blue is in that red, and how much red is in that red, and how much yellow is in that red. And we can actually decide together to quantify it and go, we're going to call it maroon if it has X amount of brown in it.
Yeah, but if it's red with one little hint of yellow, then is it red anymore? It's red-yellow. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
How are we going to it's how do we define it.
Yeah. So, if this Earth is a billion years old, and you and I have only been around
50 years.
Plus. Yeah. And we really don't know squat. No, a little bit, but don't know squat. So Bill and I have had this, we're much different, but we're much alike in other ways that keep us friends. But
we love music.
It's probably our lousy golf and music.
And horrible golf, yes.
Yeah. But the thing is that, okay, part of it, and I'm not backing down.
I know you're not. I don't want you to.
A big part of it is that I saw them. And once you see them, and you know there's no other explanation.
Uh-huh.
You're like, you know what?
How do you know there's no other explanation?
There's just not. Guaranteed.
Okay.
It's not.
But those are words. Nice. And I appreciate that.
There's not military. It's not military. It's not Chinese floating lanterns. It's not flares. It's the ignorance of people that say that crap. These things, when you see them, and that's why I sent you the high majority of the videos I sent you,
I watched them.
Were the ones that came from people on their cell phones, and you could listen. If you listen to their expressions,
right,
they're like, "What on God's earth are those things?"
So and they're unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, which is fine. Of course.
I don't disbelieve in unidentified flying objects. I just don't take the step that says they must be aliens. I believe they're unidentified.
Okay, they're unidentified flying objects.
Yeah.
Could they potentially be alien craft?
Well, sure. But how much of a percentage could they possibly be alien craft?
Well, what else would they be?
Natural explanation.
They're not drones. These are large,
how did you
red,
eliminate
glowing, neon red orbs.
How did you
eliminate? Moving around in various directions.
How did you eliminate all the other possibilities?
Because once you see them, you'll be like, you know what, Eric, you're 1,000% right.
Fine,
you are 1,000% right.
But
those are definitely not all the things that you mentioned.
What path did you use to eliminate the possibility?
Well, it's my common sense.
What process?
No, it's my common sense.
Tells me it's probably not someone from another planet.
Okay, so that goes back to my question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're certain that they're not,
I'm not certain
craft from another planet.
I'm not
what
certain.
What are they?
Well, that's the thing, is I'm not certain, but what I am is doubting. Under what circumstances?
What exactly are you doubting?
Well, what circumstances could it be that these are actually UFOs? And that's the part.
The Earth is 4 billion years old. What do we know about the last 4 billion years?
We've done a lot of there's a lot of geology in this planet. Yeah, a lot of things we do understand. There's a lot of things we don't understand. But the things we don't understand, we acceptably say, we're not sure yet. Let's find out. And we don't go straight to it must be UFOs.
Okay. Well, we're not going. There's plenty of research on the topic. We all know that. We know the government is heavily involved. We all know that.
No.
The Canadian part, the Canadian government knows it. The Canadian government has come out and said, we know the United States. It's not a conspiracy. You can't say everything's a conspiracy. It's impossible.
If the governments are involved and they're hiding things, then it must be a conspiracy.
They are being hidden. They're not being, not so much they're being hidden. They are to a point, but they're not being spoken about.
Why wouldn't
it's proven. We know that.
What proves it? Please give me that.
There's UFO disclosures that have been released. It's out there. You just have to go get it.
Okay. Well, point me in the right direction. Give me a website.
Well, I don't have it on me right now, but I told you I'd certainly sit down with you.
No, but when the time comes, feel free. I these are things that, you know, if it's there, I want to know.
No, I know you want to know.
I will tell you this, the same way that I don't buy into any of the Q conspiracy shit is...
That's different.
No, it's the same.
The QAnon? Exactly. That's just one guy with a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I can create the EAnon. That's just social media and all a bunch of hype and everybody jumping on board. That's right. All that is. That's just media. This is like life. This is like the difference between... Is there really a religion or is there not? Like, where did we come from? Were we seeded or was it DNA?
There's always going to be religion.
Did we evolve?
Whether it's true or not, it's a different story.
But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about...
No, we did evolve.
We're talking about the existence of orbs in the sky and where do they come from?
Okay, so... Do I believe that there have been lights in the sky that people have videotaped?
Well, you got to be more specific about lights because there's a beam of light, there's a ray of light, there's lights from
these little red round circles that have been seen in the sky. Do I believe that someone filmed them? Yes. Do I believe that they thought they saw red orbs in the sky? Whatever they decided to call them? Sure. Yes, I believe that these people believe that they saw that. Do I go the step further and say, therefore, must be aliens? No.
But I know, but what other reasoning can you give?
Well, it's I'm not qualified to give those reasons.
But I'm asking you to use your imagination.
I'm going
to
ask the question.
If somebody came to you and said, okay, hold on. If somebody came to you and said, okay, there's these neon red orbs across the skyline. There's like 10 of them. And I want you to give me your best interpretation of what they might be.
Well, I have some questions first.
Sure.
So number one, are there...
I don't have the answers. So you're asking the wrong person.
No. I know you don't.
What would be your interpretation of them?
That's my interpretation. Like,
Are they government or not?
No.
Are they man? You're not flown? Listening. Are they flown by man
still
or are they not
listening? You're still not listening.
I know you're trying to bully. You're trying to bully.
No, what
bully
I'm trying
me
to do
over.
Is ask you the questions because
I don't want you to ask me questions.
No.
I want you to give me the best interpretation of what you think they might be.
Okay, and here's the interpretation. This is the interpretation.
I know. I know where you're going too. Go ahead.
My interpretation is, first off. Where is this?
Could be anywhere in the skyline of the United States. Anywhere in the world,
and
really.
You don't even have to answer me. But I'm going to ask questions. And the questions are going to be things like, where is this? Is it in a flight path? Is it a secret government flight path? Or is it a regular flight path for airplanes, or is it a military flight path for helicopters?
Okay.
Is it that? I'm going to start asking questions because I want to know.
No, okay.
I'm not just going to look at something and go,
paint a picture.
Here it is. It's a goddamn UFO. I don't know nothing. I'm not going to ask any questions. Let Trump be president.
Let me paint a picture. The Bill family, they pull their money out of the bank. They're gonna go buy a cottage up north somewhere, like an hour away. They're gonna go live out in the woods, and they buy this beautiful cottage. It's on this big, huge piece of land, and they're sitting on their deck late at night. And they're drinking coffee after they get moved in. It's about 11 o'clock at night, so it's a cocktail maybe. But you've only had one at this time, one Guinness, and you're looking over this field. Mm-hmm. And way in the back, there's a little sky. You see the tops of the trees. It's a clear blue evening. You can see the blue sky in the background.
Right.
And all of a sudden, from right to left, okay,
right to left, I'm with you.
Okay, you see these large, which looks to be like maybe within a quarter mile away, maybe a half mile, but more like a quarter mile.
Sure.
Large red orbs.
Okay.
Glowing, almost more like an energy than a very specific bulb. A bulb would be very sharp on the sides, on the outskirts, it'd be really sharp. But this is like more of a glowing red neon,
like a
red
color in the sky.
So,
I'm with you.
Yeah. So right to left, there's like three of them. Mm-hmm. And they go across the skyline in different directions, different speeds. Then there's a couple more that kind of catch up. And there's another one that kind of catches up to all of those.
Okay.
And they all kind of stop, and they start kind of moving around. One's moving up, one's moving down. They're kind of like, I don't want to say the word hovering, but they've stopped. They're not really moving that much. Right.
Right.
And then three of them start blinking in a perfect triangular pattern.
Okay.
Three of them. Like perfect. Like, like you look at a triangle, three tips of a triangle. They start blinking in a triangle. While the other ones are kind of moving around. They kind of move around that triangle. They stop. They glow a little bit less, a little bit brighter. Okay. And
I'm
then
still with you. Yeah.
They just disappear. They just they dissolve into thin air. What would be your best explanation? I'm not looking for questions, nothing. What would be your best explanation? And if you say Chinese glowing lanterns, I'm going to flatten all your tires.
I'm not going to say Chinese floating lanterns because I've just watched this whole thing dance in front of me. I'm going to go, that was freaking wild. What the hell was that?
Right. So what would be your best answer?
I don't know.
What are
they?
They would say, Bill?
They would say, what do you think those Bill, were? What did you see in the sky? And I go,
no, I didn't,
I don't
I'm not
know.
Asking you what you saw. I'm asking you, what do you think they are?
I would
what
say,
what do you think these
know.
Things are?
I don't know.
That's it.
I don't know because I don't have enough facts. All I did was
you don't
see
need
something.
Facts.
No, yeah, because facts are useless. No, all I did was see some lights in the sky and see some things happen. And my brain goes, that was awesome. That was amazing. What the hell happened? And my brain also says, I don't know, which is a valid answer when I don't have facts.
Okay. So what about the videos? So anybody that's still listening,
who hasn't hung up and said, these guys are frustrating the shit out of me. Regardless of what side you fall on, we're frustrating the crap out
these
of you.
People are like,
we understand.
I can get this at home. What do I need to listen to these guys for?
Right. Oh, Eric, you're my favorite. Man. Crazy jackass.
Oh, but what was I going to ask you?
You're going to ask me, when are we going to go see the movie Stalin Does Dallas?
Right. Oh, shoot. I wanted to ask you something good. I blanked out.
I told you I don't know. You asked me all these things. You just played them.
No.
Picture and said.
Yeah,
and,
what about
and
those videos I sent you? The ones on top of the Temple Mount.
Yeah, I still don't.
Can you explain those to me?
No, I can't.
Okay, so let me.
My answer is I don't know.
Okay, so anybody that's listening, I'll make it really quick. I sent Bill
some.
I have some
questions about
videos.
And I watched them very carefully.
Balls of energy.
I watched the one a bunch of times.
Yeah.
The one over the Temple Mount, and there's two different versions of that.
Well,
there's
okay. Let me explain
from the same. It's like the same group of people. One guy was zoomed in, and one guy was just watching it from a wide angle because it's the same angle.
Yeah.
It looks like just one is zoomed in and one is not.
There's one that happened like 11 years ago, and there's one that happened like 7 years ago. I think there were 7 years apart. I have to look. So I can't. YouTube's getting rid of the videos. I can't find them anymore. But there's five videos for the one you were looking at. There were five videos taken.
I saw two of those.
Six videos of that taken of that exact time where it drops down, it flashes, and then shoots back up in the sky. But this is the thing. This is what's got me started on all this. Is I was watching when I saw the three blinking red orbs in the sky.
Right.
I started looking around on YouTube, and I found those ones on top of the Temple Mount, the videos about the ones on top of the Temple Mount.
Right.
One of those videos, there's a guy that goes back up, that points his video, his camera, back up in the sky, and what's up there? Three blinking red dots. That was the whole thing that got me started on all this. So what I saw here in the Plymouth, Michigan area were the three okay, obviously there's maybe more than one way to create three blinking red dots. But in this case, I think they go together. So with this orb leaving the top of Temple Mount, it goes up and it joins whatever's in the sky to make three blinking red dots. I saw the same kind of thing here in Plymouth, Michigan. That's what got me started on this whole thing. My big question, and I like to argue with Bill about this, is what are they? Do I think they're manned? No. Do I think they're like alien man? No. Do I think they're energy? Yes. Do I think they're intelligent energy? Yes, because of what they do. You just don't drop on top of the Temple Mount. And it's happened twice. Right on top, like right 100 feet above it. It's happened twice in like 7 years. So there's some kind of intelligence behind it. What it is, I have no idea. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think there's little dudes driving them around.
You're right. You say it's intelligence.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer. And not having an answer is just as acceptable as you saying, I think it's intelligence.
After all that I gave you.
I don't care if it's boring or not.
Yeah.
I'm interested in reality.
Well.
It doesn't bother me that it's boring.
Oh, my God.
I don't care.
So, Bobby and I don't have my glasses on. Meckerstein and Doss. If I have the chance,
right,
take a ride in the mothership, I am picking up Bill as my first stop.
And
I know I can, we live 45 minutes apart, but I know I can get there super fast.
Right. And I've told you a thousand times, I want the first stop to be my house. Come pick up me and my family in the mothership as soon as you get picked up, because I'm all for it. Whatever.
I tell you.
Let them probe me. I don't care. Because I say that knowing that it's not going to happen.
Well, they
it's
can
likely
like,
not
no,
going to happen. Likely.
Yeah. They might, whatever. I don't know. They might be able to give us some new lungs, bring out our livers, you know, squeeze the pancreas a little bit, kick in the pants, and we're good for another 20 years.
If they wring out my liver, there are many things that will die.
Don't touch that liver.
Right. Don't go near it. You guys are crazy. No, to me personally, personal testimony isn't evidence without some kind of fact.
I know. I hate those answers, though. I want you to, like, dig deep.
I don't care that you don't like the answer. It's just
I know, but they're
truth.
So boring. Like, make up something.
I don't care that it's boring. I'm not going to make shit up just to make shit up. I'm not Fox News.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I'm not gonna make shit up.
This is a good one. This is a good one. This is some of the stuff that I love to talk about. So you've played basketball before, right? I'm not gonna ask you about golf because you suck all the time at golf.
I do.
You've played basketball before, right?
I still suck at that too. But go on.
Yeah, but you've heard about it, like being in the zone, where every time somebody throws you the basketball, you're like you're putting it
through
the hoop.
You're just good. You're just
You're on for whatever it might last 5 minutes. It might last the whole game.
Right.
But you're on. I would love to know how that happens. Like, how do you get into that zone? Can you actually, like, figure out how to get into the zone?
I'm sure there's a chemical reaction within the body that causes a certain amount of equilibrium for something.
Oh. So you can answer intelligently about that, but you can't answer intelligently about a little red orb that floats across the sky.
Right, because I actually understand a little bit about physiology, and I understand.
You just
a little
can't
bit
say
about
it's a bunch of chemicals,
thinks.
Like all the chemicals get in line. What your
do you
potassium
want me to
and
give,
your
do you
zinc
want
and
me
iron
to give you an
and all
answer
of a sudden
about red orbs? Do you want me to? Number one,
I don't think you tried. That's all I'm saying.
No, I have tried. And here, let me ask you a couple of questions. What
I
are
don't
the,
have the answers.
Exactly.
I know your questions.
What are the devices these videos are being taken on?
That's why I sent them to you. Cell phones.
Right. So those devices are not designed to video long distance in the dark.
I know, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does matter.
You can't. No, but these videos.
What other evidence do we have?
The likelihood of these videos being doctored up.
Horrible
audio. Yeah, well, we don't care about the audio. The likelihood of these videos being run through a computer and adjusted or added or doctored up or manipulated in any way, it's slim and none. That's why I sent you all of them. That's why I said I sent you all the cell phone ones. I was trying to give you no outs.
Yeah, no,
and you still found it out. I don't know.
But there's
crappy
video quality.
If I didn't even say that, I never would have sent them.
So there's crappy video quality, and then there's crappy video quality. There's also crappy video quality.
We can't hear anyways.
As well as there's crappy video quality.
Yeah, we can't hear. They don't smell like anything. And we're half blind anyway, so what does it matter?
But I also have, what's the frame of reference? What's the distance, the scale?
It doesn't matter. I explained it to you. I explained it. I painted the picture.
The videos don't. See, this is the thing. If
you saw the frame of reference on the videos. What do they look like? They look like maybe a half mile away. And you can see the Temple Mount clearly.
The Temple Mount one was interesting. It was visually interesting.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer. It was visually interesting.
Was it interesting enough to where you might look into it?
It was interesting enough to go, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
That's where it stops because...
It doesn't spark your curiosity at all?
My brain doesn't go to, it could be aliens.
Well, I'm not even saying they're aliens, but it looked like an intelligent type of form of energy.
Whatever.
I'm not saying there's
my
like
brain
little guys driving, little gray dudes.
My brain
and they
doesn't
got, like,
go there.
Helmets and glasses on and, you know, headsets and all that. I'm not saying that.
I'm going to make a statement that you're going to hate.
No, go ahead. So I've heard it from you before.
You may have, but
because you like when you slice the golf ball, you blame it on the golf clubs.
No, I really just blame it on me because I suck. Here's my statement: is I wish that I had. No. I wish I had the level of. Oh, hold on, I have to get the right words.
Optimism.
No. I wish I had the level of ignorance that allowed me to believe so strongly in God that many people do. I don't have that level of ignorance.
But I know it's not a religion thing, though.
No. But I had to make that comment in order to make the next comment.
All right.
Because I don't have the level of ignorance required to believe in a God, I have a problem just simply accepting something to this UFO thing without going asking questions. And so that's all I'm doing is asking questions. I start from a position of, no, hold on. I start from a position of, I don't believe you. Please convince me.
All right,
I'm happy to
this.
Be convinced, but
he's,
I require, no, but I require actual evidence.
You know, you require proof, like this energy ball is going to drop on top of your house and explain to you what it is. It's never going to happen. We know that.
I would really like it if God would do the same thing. I would like him to stop by.
Let me ask you something.
I would like God to stop by and visit me and tell me he's
he just might. You're going to have, you have a lot of questions to answer when you go up and see him, you know, so.
He can go suck my ass.
Don't say that. You never know. He's going to remember that shit.
What does it matter?
He's going to remember that shit.
As if I'm going to go to hell. Hell doesn't exist.
You never know. You might be on the fast. You might be on the highway to hell right now.
I'm fine with that. At least cool people will be there.
All right. So let me. I got into
go
this.
Go ahead. And give me.
We'll wrap it up after this because I got shit I got to do.
Yeah.
I'll make up for it on Wednesday.
Let me do this.
So no, it's hush. So
okay.
All right. This is my show, and Bill and I, we've been over this, and we don't. I don't even really care to talk about it. And I know he doesn't, but we just do it for fun. Because this is what makes us so different, but yet we get along just fine as friends.
I still don't understand.
Because I respect his thoughts and he respects mine, even though I wish he was a believer of something other than the earth being round. But so this is the other thing. I think it kind of goes along with what we're talking about. And it really sparks my curiosity because you went through it, and I know I'm going to go through it. We all go through it. Is the death of a parent. And how did I stumble upon this guy? I was so real quick, and we've talked about this before on a podcast, but there was a documentary about a kid that was supposedly had a second life because when he was born, he talked about the second life. He had a different name. Mm-hmm. He lived somewhere else, but it was close by.
Right.
He was able to say this is where he lived. It was by an airport with a beach. And then he's in his backyard. He used to watch the planes come in. And his parents, the current parents, were like, what the hell is this kid talking about, you know?
He was schizophrenic, so go on.
Yeah, it could have been. But this is what kind of got me started on all this. So they researched it all, and all this stuff existed. There was like a Mr. and Mrs. Thompson. They did live by an airport.
Right.
And there was a family that lived next door, and the kid died tragically from something. And blah, 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 and whatever. So
the numbers
this stuff kind of interests me. So I got started on this near-death experience stuff, poking around, looking through it. Yeah, so real quick, super, super, super quick.
Okay.
There's this guy, we've talked about this before. There's a guy, Evelyn Alexander, dies from meningitis, or no, I'm sorry, goes into a coma over meningitis, worst kind supposedly, given less than 5% chance to live. He goes into a coma for like, I don't know how many days. Flatlines, comes back out of it and recovers 100%. That's the story in a nutshell. But he goes on. You can introduce him in a second.
Okay.
So he goes on to talk about what happened while he had passed on.
Right.
And what he experienced. And he ends up writing a book about it. I bought the book, blah, 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 blah. And what he did is after he recovered and all that, and he's a neurosurgeon.
Okay.
And his father was a neurosurgeon. And by the way, he was adopted, but they were both neurosurgeons. He followed in his father's footsteps.
Right.
But he went on to say that I won't tell you what he experienced because that's not the important stuff. But when he came back, he said he interviewed 2,000 people to create his book.
And I remember that.
These 2,000 people were had all near-death experiences. He said about 95% of them were very similar, meaning the path that they took after death and what happened and how they were greeted and all that kind of stuff. I find it extremely interesting because if I could prove that he did actually, you know, interview 2,000 people and these were actually the things that they said that happened, then how can you prove these people wrong?
Maybe
there's something that's psychological, chemical in our brain, but I honestly don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I think it would be a mixed match.
The question that comes to my mind is what, aside from this near-death experience, what commonality do these 2,000 people have? I'm not going to talk about religion and stuff.
I'm not going to talk about that.
No,
I'm just saying important
things. These are vital questions. These are the things that I want to find the answers, and I'm okay if the answer is something I'm not.
I'll give you the book. You could read the book. But it's not important. It's all about.
Why is it not important?
Because it deals with religion and you don't believe in it, so you're going to shoot it down anyways.
Just because I don't believe it doesn't mean it doesn't
have
an important factor.
I'll say this. Yeah. So what they experienced, and I'll put it back in a nutshell, like I always say, is that when these people died, they left their, the way they described it as their soul left their body.
Okay.
They could see what was going on, whether it was a car crash or operation.
Okay.
They could see and hear what was going on.
Sure.
And then they slowly left that area and went into a tunnel. And as soon as they hit that tunnel, and it was a tunnel of light, like they always describe, it was overwhelming love, like nothing else mattered in the entire world. Not all the money in the world, not whatever. It doesn't matter. It was overwhelming love. All your stress is gone. Like feelings you've never felt before. It was like there's no reason to ever, ever, ever go back to Earth.
I'm still with back you. To
living and breathing human being. Yeah.
Right.
So from that point, it varies a little bit. Some people were greeted by family members. Some people were greeted with members, family members they haven't seen in a long time or maybe had passed on. And there was this presence of this person that did the initial greeting, which everybody kind of made the assumption. They didn't say it was Jesus or God,
so but
it was a it was a welcoming, like it was a welcoming person into this, like.
Why is my question then invalid? Why is it that I can't ask what do these people have in common? It doesn't matter.
I'm not looking for a generic Bill answer. I'm looking for. No, no.
But what I want to know is if
you tell me I don't know, then we're not going to be able to talk about anything.
Right. No, but I don't know is a valid answer to some questions. But if 2,000 people say I had this experience and 1,500 of those experiences are similar and have similar veins of ideas and concepts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of those 2,000. Then I'm going to want to know what's the background of those 1,500 people and are there commonalities in their background? Because
are you talking about drug abuse? And
no, I'm talking about it doesn't matter. I want to know because this is how things get – this is how facts come together is you find out where the commonalities are and then you draw a conclusion from the commonalities. So if 1,500 people say – yeah, I had this experience, and let's say all 2,000 people had a certain part of the – say there's 15 items that they've identified. Stop. There's 15 items that they've identified in each person's story. And of those 15 items, all 2,000 people have one item in common.
And I know,
you 1,500 people have three items.
There's an infinite number of different ways.
There's an infinite number of combinations of how this works. The question is, what's the background of these people?
I know. We're not looking to shoot holes in everything. I'm just saying.
That's how science works.
No,
that's how it works. Is you point, you poke holes and stuff.
You know what? There's life beyond science. Until there's enough stuff
left, then you go.
There's life beyond science. There is. It's called love.
I know there is.
Okay, so listen, one other quick one.
So
this led me to a video, and it was about bedside nurses. I know it probably sounds like a porn or
I love it. Or,
yeah. So, but what it's all about, it's about nurses in hospice care. And they talk about people that are getting ready to pass on, and whether they're elderly or not, doesn't matter, but they're in hospice. And they said the nurses are there. It was, I don't know, maybe six different nurses that were, they were interviewing. And they said, what were some of the common things that you saw or heard or whatever? And they said, you know, basically that when they're there taking care of these people that are sick and ready to pass on, that they start to talk to themselves. They start to realize, or they start to look in the corners of the room and on their bedsides, and they start to see people, relatives and friends they know that have passed on.
Yeah.
And they say, though, if they think those are, quote unquote, the angels that are preparing them to bring them into afterlife.
But that's okay.
Now, I know you could shoot holes through that too, but I'm saying is once you start connecting all these dots, there's
but
a
if I can
a,
shoot holes common, in it, then
yeah,
maybe,
you can't you just can't keep shooting holes in everything. Not
why
you
can't
personally.
I? Why can't
because
holes
you
be
just
shot
can't do
things?
That. Then I can shoot holes in gravity allowed? And everything else. Doesn't matter.
How can you shoot holes in a lot?
It doesn't matter. I can just shoot holes in it. I'll find it. I'll find it.
Please.
Whatever.
Tell me the world.
Gravity, you know, gravity's not, maybe it's not proven. You're just taught how gravity works and you believe in it. So whatever. You can't prove to me that gravity works other than throwing a rock up in the air and it comes back down.
Prove to me gravity doesn't work.
You can't prove me the theory of gravity. You just understand how it works.
Right, and that's how our monkey brains work. Is
okay. So
brains understand. So hold on though. Before you go there, I gotta tell you, our buddy guided by Torah has joined us.
Oh, I know. I'm trying to figure out what this is going to go. I got shit to do, so we're going to have to.
I know. We're going to have to cut this short, but I got to tell you.
Either that or I'll mute you guys.
Guided by Torah is a great friend of ours. Dude.
He's a believer in the Catholic faith.
Friend of the show. Smells lovely. Looks good in leather.
Believes in aliens.
Tire swing in the backyard. Our favorite person. Thanks for stopping by, Torah. Guided by Torah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Doubt is always probable. Exactly. The thing is, you got to realize that I'm
okay.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
No.
Let me ask you this.
I'm not finished with my thought.
I know. I'm so tired of listening to you, though.
Right. God. I know you're tired of listening to me because I throw shit in your face and you hate it. But I am skeptical, and the reason I'm skeptical is because I just want to understand things. But as far as all these red orbs and the goofy shit and the alien stuff.
Has anybody ever called you not being an open-minded person?
No. And the big
you got to be kidding me.
And all of those things.
No, don't take that personally.
There's not sufficient evidence for me to believe in those things. I still don't have sufficient evidence for me to believe in the God that I grew up believing in, supposedly.
There's, in other words.
I don't have the capacity.
Yeah, you do. You choose not to.
No, I don't.
In other words, it's funny because
I don't have the capacity to suspend reality long enough to buy into half of this shit. That's my problem.
It's not buying into.
I can't suspend reality long enough.
Like, I just asked you to describe to me what you think those orbs might be, but you kind of went, you skirted around the whole question. You're like, well,
because
where,
I don't have
when,
the facts.
Temperature.
It, could be,
it doesn't matter.
It could be.
It doesn't. I painted you the picture. I said what you're seeing. That's all you do.
Right.
That's all
and
I
said
saw.
It could be.
That's all and, I saw is yeah, what, and, I, what I would describe to you.
Right. And it could
that
be.
That was it. Yeah.
What does it could be mean? There are no facts with it could be.
Oh, guided by Torah wants to know why your pick looks like a robotic pharaoh.
Oh, because it's a robotic pharaoh.
This could be getting kind of deep.
No.
I'm getting big.
No,
I'm
that's a great question. Guided by Torah. I'm really happy that you asked that question. It tells me that you're less than 45 years old. Or you're from a country that did not have Japanese afternoon.
Well, look at his emoji thing.
His emoji is Torah. That doesn't necessarily mean he's living in.
Oh, I thought it looks like, isn't that Israel's flag? That's not Israel's flag.
Yeah. Well, but it's guided by Torah. The symbol is a Jewish star. So, mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean he's living in Israel and doesn't have access to reality. He's a normal human being like the rest of us, I'm sure. That my icon is the robot from the 1960s, 70s, Johnny Sacco and the Flying Robot from Japan.
It was a big deal back then.
Yeah, it was a little boy, little Japanese boy who had this special watch that could control this huge giant robot that would battle things like Godzilla and monsters of that size. And it was sort of an Ultraman-type takeoff. But I like Johnny Sacco and the Flying Robot. And that's a really cool way to describe Johnny Sacco and the Flying Robot is as robotic pharaoh.
Oh, 84.
Yeah.
Well.
And that's cool.
You were born in the early 70s.
Yeah.
You didn't have much to choose from, so you just ended up liking what you could watch.
Right. There was no cable or anything like that. Yeah. So it was just like.
It was either that or Looney Tunes. Channels.
Guided by Torah, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. And, you know, we're not holding it against you that you're born in 84. You're still a young punk, and that's awesome.
Yeah, we were graduating from high school around about that time, weren't we?
I was sophomore, I think, or something like that. But yeah, no,
I was just getting started.
Feel free to favorite us or like us or whatever and join us again. Usually, the Looney Tunes. That's where I learned how to enjoy classical music between my dad and Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
But Guided by Torah, feel free to favorite us and join us. We usually like to talk about music. We prefer to talk about music.
But yeah.
Sometimes we get a bug in our craw, and Eric wants to talk about something, and I want to, you know, refute his whatever the hell he wants to talk about. And I like to deal in facts, and Eric likes to deal in fiction, and or whatever the hell he wants to call it. And,
yeah, call it anything you want.
You know, and I make the claim just about every time that, you know, I wish I had the ignorance to believe the way that everybody else does. And he laughs at me and pokes me in the eye. And we still love to go play golf and listen to music.
Right.
And we're best buds who just don't agree on this one thing. And if there's anything in the world that anybody ever gets from any of our podcasts on the planet forever, remember this one thing. I wish I could remember what it was.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are you going with this? I was going to help you out, but...
The fact of the matter is, you don't have to love everybody all the time for everything that they do.
Yeah.
You just have to get along. The whole 2020 crazy psychotic shit and the election in America and all this other crazy dumbass shit that happened and all the people doing stupid shit and breaking into stuff and doing crazy stuff. Let it go. Remember, we're all one tribe. We are all together. And
yeah, we don't really have to get along. You don't have to love everybody, do you?
You don't have to love everybody. You just have to tolerate everybody. And how hard is that? You know, if you put your hand up and walk away, I'm just not dealing with you.
Yeah.
That's good enough. You've said, I acknowledged you, and I'm not putting up with your shit, but I'm not putting up with you. And you walk away, and nobody gets hurt.
Exactly.
How hard is that? You know, just figure out how to live with each other. And
it's easier to pull out a 9mm and start shooting up the house.
Whiny ass bitches pull out 9mm.
I'm just kidding.
Shit like that. No, I'm with you.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to get along. What you have to do is tolerate each other. And a lot of times, you know, Eric and I tease each other about being brothers from another mother's.
Yeah.
And we just tolerate each other and all that other stuff. But
yeah,
we love each other like brothers.
Yeah.
Although we don't necessarily see eye to eye on just about everything.
Yeah, right.
That's but damn, when it comes to music, it's the way I walk.
Exactly.
That's the cramps in the
We've got our own cramps.
Are you going to put us out on the regular transitional out music?
Oh, I can.
I would like that very much.
Okay.
Guided by Torah, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate you sticking around.
This is the Sixth and Sevens Uranium
Six
Clock.
Sixth and Sevens in the background. This is a band we know and love. If you like the sound of the cut of their jib, the sound of their stuff, and it's really actually worth listening to. You can find them on YouTube, Six and the Sevens Detroit Music.
You think we'll be on Wednesday?
Oh, we're going to be out. You and I are going to be up on Wednesday.
Yeah, please comment on our show. Can it get any worse or can it get better? Or?
Oh, it can get worse.
Yeah, it certainly can.
And it definitely can get better.
We just delete them.
This shit was horrible. Again, be good to each other. Wear your mask. Get your vaccine when your time comes.
I think everybody needs a hug. Everybody needs a hug.
Hug somebody once you're vaccinated.
Right.
Right, exactly. Eric, that's been you.
Bill, that's been you. Catch us on Wednesday.
We're going to have some fun stuff to talk
8
about.
O'clock.
We're going to go back to music on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll come up with some good stuff about music. Do our reviews.
We like to talk about the albums that made something.
Yes.
The albums that did something. And we brag about these albums, not because we own them or because it was just because we love them. And we encourage people to go out and buy these albums and support. And these are old, new, current, old, older, oldest. Anyway.
All right.
I'm done with you.
And I'm done with you. But we're not done with you guys. Come see us on Wednesday or listen to us on Wednesday.
Pour me
another. Well, have something out good. But good.
Pour me another, brother.
All right. See you guys. See you, Bill. Ciao, Maine.